And John, you say these things, and you never can say them right. There are many men that deserved it far more than I did. I just was lucky enough to be alive, and I was made ultimately the company commander.
As a first lieutenant, who are you leading? How many men were under your command at that point?
The basic unit of an infantry outfit is the company, like Company A, Company B, Bugle Boy of Company B, that kind of thing, which nominally is about 150 men. I doubt that there was an infantry company in the American Army at this time that had the full complement of men. So maybe there was 100 men, maybe. Company commander would be in charge of 100 men. I have often thought that may be one of the ultimate criteria. A company commander knows all of his officers. He knows most of his sergeants. He knows many of his enlisted men. He is very intimately involved with his men. He's with them. He makes level up to a battalion commander, and he would know his company commanders, and that's all. So the man that is most intimately connected with his men and with the world is an infantry company commander. I was very flattered to be one.
And you knew all those people?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. Kept in touch with most of them.
Even beyond
Captain Tuff was my first sergeant, who died about 2 years ago, but we'd stayed in touch the time, because I think the role should have been reversed. He should have been the company commander, and I should have been the sergeant, but it didn't work out that way.
You were the officer. But then when you'd come under fire and some of your men would die under fire, You'd lost them. That had to be emotionally tough for you to see those people, because you got to know them.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew where they were from.
You make a good point. That's the hard part of being a company commander, yeah. You do remember them. Don't forget them.
Did you sustain many losses under your command?
It's very difficult to visualize this thing, but they tried to replace the casualties. Now, I can't imagine what a replacement feels like when he knows he's going to be shoved into that line, scared to death, scared out of his mind. But there was a continual turnover, so I told you, I don't think any of the officers who went into Normandy stayed very long in that capacity. They were continually replaced. So I'm not answering your question. I don't know what to say. The company commander, probably I had 100 men.
Yeah. What weapons were you using and carrying?
Rifles. Infantry, you know.
Yeah. Were they M16s?
No, M1s.
M1s. 16 hadn't come along?
M1 was thought to be the ultimate weapon. Mm-hmm. It called a Garand, G-A-R-A-N-D. They were M1s. We officers carried a .45, a pistol, and a carbine. A carbine is a very light weapon, but a very effective weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us carried carbines.
You yourself killed a German, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And the first time that happened to you, did you have any emotional experience with it, or the rigors of war were, I'm here to do what I'm supposed to do?
Well, if you really want to know, we all went into Normandy. I guess it's all right to say this. We were all virgin soldiers. And a virgin soldier in those days was someone who hadn't killed anybody. So we were all virgin soldiers. And in Normandy, after the invasion, after you got off the beach, there were the hedgerows. Have you heard of the hedgerows?
I saw those.
Awful,
right.
Situation.
Right.
An awful situation. I'm carrying a carbine. These hedgerows, you know, they're way up here. But there are gaps in them. Artillery's torn some gaps in them. My men and I were going along this side of it. Off the other side, a German showed up. Well, I pulled my carbine around to shoot him, and I noticed he had field glasses. Well, we had always heard, or I had always heard, what marvelous equipment the Germans had as far as field glasses and cameras and things like that. And I noticed he had these field glasses on. Instinctively, I pulled up the gun, and I didn't want to hit those field glasses. This is a true story. I didn't want to hit those field glasses, and I pulled it up and got him in the head. So I was no longer a virgin soldier. We kept jockeying back and forth, and I finally found this guy that I'd killed and wanted those field glasses, and I looked at them, and the damn things weren't worth a darn. The lenses were cracked. John, you did funny things. Your first time in combat, it's kind of like Hollywood. It's just going to be like the movies. Well, of course, it's not like the movies at all. We wanted souvenirs. Everybody wanted this, that, and the other. And I wanted those damn field glasses till I looked at them, and they were worthless. I lost my virginity.
Yeah. And did you deal with that later, or how did that bother you?
Well, it really didn't bother me.
Yeah.
And there were other cases, too.
I'm sure.
Maybe three or four. Well, that goes through your mind. I mean, it never leaves your mind. You remember it.
But if it weren't him, it could have been you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. He had a gun, too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. When I was there, I was so taken with the bunkers the Germans had built, because they had been there for a number of years, hadn't they, on the coast of France.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked into those bunkers and down in and saw where they slept and all. It wasn't just above ground. They were below ground as well. Mm-hmm. It was like a little apartment, in a way, where they were dug in and waiting for the attack that they thought would come eventually.
You were at Omaha.
Yes. So you no doubt saw those, and you went right past them, of course, and you those kind of things.
I don't know that I was ever in one, like you were, for example.
Okay.
I've been in them, but not to see them.